Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's who we believe in. It's a him, not an it. We're not just Christians. We belong to him. All right, chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 6. There was a man. There was a man. Sent from God. His name was John. He came for a witness, that he might witness concerning the light, that all might, through him, believe. He was not the light, but that he might witness concerning the light. He was the true light, the one that he's witnessing to. He was the true light, and he enlightens every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own, the Jewish people, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become children of God. Every one of us is a child of God. To the ones believing into his name, who were born not of bloods, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of God. Powerful. But were born of God. And last verse of this part. The Word became flesh and tented, tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as an only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and of truth. John witnesses concerning him and has cried out, saying, The one was he of whom I said, he is coming after me, has been before me, for he was preceding me. And out of his fullness we have all received grace instead of grace, or on top of grace. For all the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. So it's a him, not an it. A lot of people think, I want eternal life. But eternal life is not the glory of God. Him is. In other words, knowing Jesus. I'm not explaining it, I'm just saying it. So, eternal life is not the end of the story. But him, Jesus Christ, personal, intimate relationship with him is what it's all about. So you can talk to him as a person. God's a person, you're a person. God's heart to your heart. And Jesus Christ then revealed the Father, and no one else can. But now that he's in you, you can. Now that he's in you, you can. So now you have existence in God, and therefore you are being restored. You're not fully restored. You are being restored. It's a process. You are being restored to Jesus' spirit, your heart, soul, and body, your behavior. So that has not yet taken place. Past, he died for you. That was chair 4. And then he now wants you to give up or die to your life, give up your soul. And then finally we'll be perfected in love. So those three things make up the atonement. He does the atonement, you don't. He does the atonement, you don't, because of sin. But when he's done, you won't have no sin. And when he comes back again the second time, which is not now, later. When he comes back a second time, you'll see him as he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he came as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but he'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords because he was born a king. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's everything you've ever wanted, Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. And you will someday marry Jesus when all the sin is gone. You're of age when all the sin is gone. So you're not of age. And so a lot of Christians today believe that if they're born again, chair four, they're a Christian. Well, you are, but it's imputed to you, not because sin is gone. So that's not the glory of God. The glory of God, and there's a big division in heaven because of this. I'm not explaining it. I'm just explaining that I'll preach on it sometime. The big division in heaven is that you will be with God forever and ever in the kingdom of God in heaven. Others may stay on the earth. They may have a different destiny because they were lukewarm during this world. And even though they're born again someday, because the foolish virgins, they went and got the Holy Spirit, but it's too late. And he said, I never knew you. In other words, I didn't know you as Savior, Lord, and Bridegroom. So you weren't ready. You weren't mature. You didn't have your vessel filled with oil. And so that's a long, long experience. But right now, you don't have to worry about it because you don't do any of that. You do nothing. If you'll just be yourself, he loves you as you are. So you don't have to do anything to please God. He's already pleased with you now. He's always been pleased. He will always be pleased. The only thing he wants is, as a sinner, you need to repent, which means comfort yourself, He wants you to comfort yourself and say, I don't have to perform to please you. I already please you, and you have made the threefold atonement sacrifice offering on my behalf, because it's personal. You have to know him personally. That's a him, not an it. So you don't want eternal life. Just because you have eternal life does not guarantee you that you'll be with God in heaven forever. But knowing him as King of Glory, and he comes back as King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. That's the King of Glory. So the King will come back as a King of Peace, come back as a King who delivers the righteous and then judges the poor, chastens the poor. But so don't just think because you're born again, that was only the beginning, the foundation, but sooner or later. Now, I want to explain the difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. Many people thought John the Baptist was the light because he was baptizing everybody, and he said, repent, comfort yourself, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And many people thought he was the friend of the bridegroom. Well, he said, I am the friend of the bridegroom. I'll be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll be the friend of the bridegroom. I'll be his best man. And Jesus said, no one born of woman is greater than John. No one. No one. Why? Not because he was greater than Moses or greater than Abraham or greater than even Adam. It isn't that. It's that he introduced Jesus to the world. And so John's message was to be a voice crying in the wilderness, behold, the way of the Lord has been revealed. I am the way and the truth and the life, the eternal life. No one can come to the Father except by me. However, you couldn't even know Jesus without the Father sending the Holy Spirit, which tells you who the Father is, that he's for you. So there's no sweat, no burden. You don't do anything. Whatever burdens you bear, those are just given to Jesus and he bears them. So you don't do anything. Your salvation is a free gift. It's like Christmas every day. It's like resurrection every day. Every day you experience the DNA of God. Every day you want to talk to God personally. So most Christians don't read their Bibles, but if you don't read the Bible, you can't hear. And you need to read out loud so that you hear the word of truth. And therefore, God will use that. And actually, if you want to die to the Lord, you just have faith. If you have faith because you're not relying on yourself, you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not yours. His righteousness, not yours. You will be judged by his righteousness, not yours. So when you get before the throne, you don't have to say, God, no, I did this and I that did that. He already knows what you did, first of all. But second of all, you don't have to be judged. He's just going to give you your crown. He's going to say, hush, hush, hush. You're being judged by Jesus' righteousness. That is faith. Faith is in the promise that Jesus is your righteousness. So because of that, he's pleased with you because you said his son told the truth. And the truth will set you free. So everyone here is a believer just by hearing these words. I could yell them. It doesn't make any difference. I could do it softly. It doesn't make any difference. It's just knowing that the good news is always for you. He never has any malice toward any sinner at any time. Never. Never. And since that's the case, anyone that he birthed with a natural birth and then fell away and now is born of the flesh, he not only forgave you for that, he forgave you and past, present, and future, all your sins are taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. When I say that, that's because I'm saying he does it all. So if he does it all, you don't need to help him or cooperate with him or do anything. Many people want to, the Catholics, the Jewish people, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, and so on. They all want to help him out. God, I'm doing a good work for you. He's a man that has it all, so I don't think you can do a good work for God because he has everything, is everything, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So why bother since it's already over? Remember Jesus said on the cross, it's written. So if it's written, and it's over, then what he did was he now justified you by faith. So now you're justified by faith, but you have to be sanctified, and then you have to be glorified. Well, since he does all things, that's included. It's included in the all. It's a package deal. But he does them in order, justified by grace, through faith, and then sanctified by the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then perfected in love. And in that way, he's removed all your sins. And when men see your good work on earth, he'll give glory. They'll give glory to your Father in heaven. They won't give glory to you. And that's because they know you're a son of God. You're a child of God. And so we are now the children of God by faith, and someday we'll see it. Someday when he comes back, you'll see him as he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And still it's not over. Still it's not over. When you see Satan, this is very interesting. When you see Satan cast into the lake of fire, you'll know the time of the Gentiles has come to an end. Then you'll also know that he who began a good work in you will surely complete it. Still, time is not up. then there's the last throne judgment. But now, time is about to come to an end right after that. And that will be the end. And so when you see Satan cast in, you know, that hour is growing near. And by the way, it only takes God 1 hour to destroy him. So in 1 hour, it's over. Everything is over. So that 1,000 years in the millennium is where Christ's reigning through us who are in heaven with him, and there'll be people on earth. There will be people on earth. The Jewish people, the 12 tribes, they'll be on earth. But not Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the saints of the Old Testament who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, all the Messianic Jews and so on and so forth. If they truly believed in their heart on Christ and rely upon him, then you're dead to sin. The minute you rely on Jesus by faith, you're dead to sin. So you can do it every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. So, did what I say so far make sense? Because you cannot read these passages, especially in John, because he's reaching the heart. And the only reason he wrote this thing is so that you might believe. The only reason he wrote it is not so that you might see. You'll see someday. But today you just believe. But someday you'll see. And it could be in your lifetime. I've often said that. So don't think we're that far away. The wicked are wicked today, and God is going to leave them wicked. So don't say, oh, God, remove all the wicked people. No. Don't fret because of evildoers. Amen. Don't worry about them. They're just playing out their role. Let the evil be evil and let the good be good. I mean, just leave it alone. Just make sure you are right with God. You worship God with all your heart and soul by faith. And you love your neighbor as yourself by faith. Just make sure you're right with God. And don't worry about all the other things. So all the scripture, and it would take more than a month to read all the scripture. I mean, it's hard to read it. But it's the same in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. No new doctrine. Nothing new under the sun. Everything that God hath promised, he will surely finish, complete. That's why Jesus said it's finished, but he was only talking about your heart. You've now had a new heart. Now your heart is new, but your soul is not. Your soul is being. It's ongoing. It's present. But he died in the past. He already died. So you're forgiven. Now his soul is being dead every time you have faith in God. Every time you use the word of God rather than your psychology. What I feel, what I want, what I think. Don't ever say that in the presence of God, because you can't die then. And he'll say then to you, I never knew you. You didn't know me at all, but I never knew you. I don't know who you are. He's not talking about he doesn't see you. He's not talking about he's not going to judge you. He's talking about the fact that we were never intimately connected as Savior and as Lord, which removes all your sin, and as Bridegroom, which you're perfected in love. So now he's doing everything. So does all that make sense? So you're free today, and because you're free, you can thank him. You can thank him for doing everything. And so when you know you deserve hell and death and devil and the world and all that kind of stuff, when you thank him, you're thanking him for doing everything you couldn't do. He paid a debt you couldn't pay. He gave you wisdom which you didn't have. He gave you favor which you didn't have. He gives you everything you need. My God shall supply, well, how much? All your needs. So everything that you need, God has already supplied it, or he will, on time. So you never have to worry about God. Now, so the Bible is all about God. It's not really about you. It's just you're included in God's love. And so if God loves you, you can love you. As a matter of fact, you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so if you don't have self-love, you couldn't have neighbor love. He's built it on your own selfish nature. As I want everything to be going my way. Well, let's treat the neighbor that way. Oh, yuck. I wanted me to be ahead. How many know you have a little bit of pride in you? Just a little bitty bit of pride in you. And fear and anger and lust and all those things. So don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Beholding him, you are changed. Beholding him, you are changed. Him, not it. Him. So you don't want to be saved. You want Jesus. You want to know Jesus. That's eternal life. Eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So he's the one revealing God. He's the one revealing God. He's the one revealing God. So how do you do it? You don't do it. You just read the Bible. Or you just hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. And then all of a sudden faith comes in you. And when faith comes in you, your sin is dead. Every time you have faith in God, your flesh is now deader and deader and deader and deader and deader. It's more dead. And so you don't really need to get rid of your sin. He'll do that. You just need to be dead quicker. You just need to be dead. And you could start today. Hey, God, if there be any wicked way in me, reveal it. And I'll change, or I'll confess it. I'll just say, God, I did that. I lied. I was a glutton. I was slothful. And so on. I love the Bible words. They're more accurate than mine was. I wasn't too good today. Don't say it that way. Just say I was slothful. I was negligent. I totally disobeyed your Ten Commandments. And so on. God likes to hear that. Just confess your sin. So it's easy to please God because he's already pleased. You're his son. He doesn't love Jesus more than he loves you. Did you hear what I just said? Because when you marry Jesus, you'll have to be like him. You'll be just like him. And when you walk down the aisle with the Father to give you away to the Son, when you walk down the aisle, people will gasp. And not just at the Father, but also the fact that the Father loves you and he's brought you down to marry his Son. So it's powerful. So Jesus is coming back as King of Glory. He will come back as King of Glory. That's different than just he gave you eternal life, or different just that you inherited things, or different just that you're in your own land, or different. It's different. So we want to know Jesus, and the more you know Jesus, the more deader you become. The more deader you become. So don't get better, get deader. Amen. So don't change. Just be yourself. Let God be God. Let God be God. Because he's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's nobody. If God is for you, there's nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. Now, God, I didn't deserve it today, so don't love me. He's going to love you anyway. He will love anybody at any time. He's never stopped doing that. You can go to hell for all eternity. He still loved you. And that's the pain. Because in the garden, before Adam and Eve sinned, they had fellowship with God. They were innocent. But you're not just going back to that. You're going to be mature this time, not just innocent. How many children at 1 or 2 years old are still innocent? But as they begin to grow, they become guiltier. And they know it. They know it. Well, I listened to the bad angel today. You know, they know it. Which shoulder was he on? I think this one. Yeah, they don't know which one. But they know that bad person told me to do bad. And little kids, they know. They're guilty. You cannot take guilt away from people. Only God can remove your sins forever and ever and ever. And ever. So, does everybody understand so far?
Yes, sir.
So, now I'm going to read again what I just read. because I want you to understand what I just read by explaining it and now reading it. Now, I want you to understand, and then if you have any questions, we can answer them. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came for a witness, that he might witness concerning the light, that all might believe through him, that is Jesus. John was not that light, but that he might witness concerning the light. So John is not the light, but he witnessed concerning the light. He was the true light, that is Jesus. And he, Jesus, enlightens every man coming into the world. So if you're a person, if you're a natural person, then you know there's a God. It's not, you cannot even conceive of a man saying, I don't know that there's a God. So an atheist is a fool that says, oh, I didn't know there was a God. Of course they do. They have a conscience. And so they know there's a God, and they know it. And they know when they do wrong, and they know when they do right. They know when you do it, and they know when they do it. So that's why little children get scared at night and think there's, you know, something under the bed or in the closet. And you can do this, and I did it. Every one of my children in the middle of the night, they'd cry out. And you'd go in and say, no, no, let me turn on the light. There's no, you know, alligators or anything here, bad things. And you can lay there, and they're okay as long as you're there. But if you dare move before they're asleep, and it takes sometimes not just 15 minutes, but sometimes a half an hour to 45 minutes, because they move. If you just move a little bit, they got you. Is don't move. Same with God. He doesn't want you to move. Stay in the station where you are. If you're a sinner, go ahead. But I'm just telling you what you cannot remove bad things. You can't stop sinning without Jesus. But with Jesus, you can do all things.
Praise the Lord.
And you can't start doing right without Jesus. But with Jesus, he does it for you. You did it. What he does, what you couldn't do, and he does what you're supposed to do, he does everything. And he does it because he loves you. That is unconditional love. So, don't blame yourself for doing anything, because God is not mad at you for doing wrong. Even though people do wrong. How many know Christians still sin? So you can become born again, chair 4, you still sin. You can be born again. You can even be a disciple, chair 5, and still sin. But when you get to chair 6, there's no more sin. Does that make sense? When you get to chair 6, you're now mature. You're of age. Then you're marriageable. As soon as you become of age, you're marriageable. And that means, is the sin out of your life? It isn't a certain date, you know, like you're 18 or you're 21 or whatever. It's not a date. It's just approximately around that age. You're mature because you not only have experience of trying to be good and you weren't, but also experience of you're no longer innocent and you've already sinned a bunch of times. And so it's okay. Don't bawl yourself out. Comfort yourself. Naham. Nacham. Naham. Say it. Naham. That's Hebrew. Naham means that you are actually comforting yourself. It isn't just that God is a God of comfort. He can comfort you. But the only way he can comfort you is send Jesus. And when you read Jesus' words, and then he says to you, comfort yourself. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that's chair 3. So you can comfort yourself. Don't wait for God to do it. You can do it yourself. Thank God. God, I just sinned. I was awful and I was terrible. But thank you for forgiving me. saying, don't quit on me. Don't leave me or forsake me. He said, I won't. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So since Jesus cannot do that, or he'd cease to be Jesus, then don't worry about your past sins. Now you say, Pastor, you're making it too easy on us because we like sinning. No, I'm not. I'm not making it easy. I'm just telling you a truth. You cannot stop doing bad and you cannot start doing good. You cannot do it. You don't have any capacity until he that's in you removes all the sin, and then you can do it. So that could be a while. It could be a while. So all I'm telling you is the truth. You won't hear this from too many ministers. I'm not bragging at all. I'm just simply repeating what the Bible said. When you're a Christian, you still sin. Even though you're a Christian, you still sin. You're critical of others. You judge others. You look down on others. You despise others. You know, you're proud. You're arrogant. You're fearful. You're envious. And so on and so forth. I go on and on. So all of those things are just gifts that God gives you. And as soon as you get rid of the sin, you get the gift. So the minute you die, you live. The moment you lose your life, that's when you find your life. And it happened to me. It's my experience, is that I actually was wicked as I grew up. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I had great joy and proud. I was proud of myself for being wicked. But when I met Jesus, it's over. And I realized, I should have done this a long time ago. I never knew there was joy like this. I was always happy-go-lucky. In other words, everything went my way, even if I did wrong. I didn't get caught and whatever. And so I enjoyed it. But when I became a Christian, I realized, that was not joy. This is joy, knowing him. That has taken away all your sins, taken away your anxiety, taken away your stress, taken away the disease, taken away everything that's against you. The world, the flesh, the devil, and so on and so forth. You don't have to worry about a thing. So I don't keep the law. Jesus keeps it for me, then in me, then through me. I'm letting him, let God be God. He loves taking care of you. Now, how many here understood what I just said? Now, how many would like to make a little bitty testimony that happened to me? I was once wicked like you, Pastor Jim, but now I've improved a little bit. That is, Jesus has taken over, and now I let him be God. Because you can't do it. He'll do it for you. So now you can worship God. It's easy. Okay, who? Yes, Karen.
Joy. Amazing joy.
Wow.
And continuous.
Yeah.
And passion.
And it never stops. It never stops, which is interesting. You would think it would stop, because we're tempted every day. So you'd think that would stop. But when you once experience the joy unspeakable, you can't even say it. That's how much joy it is. You can't even express it, except to another believer who has the same experience. And they'll understand, because it happened to me, just like you said. But when you do it, then people say, I want what you have. I believe in him up here in my head, but I don't have a heart-to-heart relationship with him. And is that by faith? I mean, I don't know how you get it. It comes by hearing. And the more you hear, that's why I repeat the same good news every Sunday. And I get paid for it. It's wonderful. I get paid to do it. Just to encourage you every day that you're in great shape, because God has never been angry at any human being that he created. Never. It's not even possible. God is good. Only God is good. Jesus said, and no one else is good but God. So you can't change God from being good. He is, and he's permanent. Me? I'm fickle. But not God. He doesn't like good one day and mean the next day. Me am. I'm like that. One day I'm a beast, and the next day I'm a sweet saint. I mean, it's just, how many have an up and down life that way? Disregard it. Do not regard it. God doesn't even see that. He knows that you did it. He knows everything. He knows that you did it, but he's already forgiven that. That was forgiven on the cross 2,000 years ago. And it doesn't matter what a slow learner you are. Don't worry about that. You're beloved of God. Who else would like to testify?
I did.
Yes.
Peace.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's it.
And very few people have that.
Yeah.
Very few people have that peace with no anxiety, no stress, no disease or anything. You got peace. No matter what happens, I'm safe. Because Jesus wants me to be happy every single day.
Hallelujah.
And that's what they say. Oh, I want that. I want that. How did you get that? I just read the Bible. I just read the Bible. But the Bible, just by reading it, that's where faith comes from. You then are free of everybody and everything in this world. And so, that's good. Who else wants to testify? Willis.
The hardest part for me was to repent and then comfort myself. But I'm getting a hold of that.
Good. Yeah, that's hard. That's good, though.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it as a good work. But he can do it and just give you the gift. And you find yourself not saying it like head knowledge, but you find yourself in your heart saying, that's really true. I'm comforted because of God. I'm not comforted because of me, but I'm comforted. I rely totally on him. And what he said, I believe. And then you find it's a habit. You'll find it's a habit. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes.
The more I try to fix a situation or do a situation, whether it be work or, you know, whatever, I'll just let go and let God handle it.
Right.
And then you just have a peace about it, a joy about it, a comfort about it. And no matter how it turns out, it may not turn out, you know, what you want to, but, you know, if it doesn't, it's on God. It's not on me.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's the way he wanted it to happen.
Right. Exactly.
The way you wanted it to happen.
Exactly. That's sweet. That's precious. And that's what everyone's looking for. They don't know it. That's why all the medicine out there is just pain relief. That's all it is. It's just pain relief because people don't hate pain. No, I want the pain because that tells me, hey, you're out of order. I mean, everything is not right with God. And you get it right away, boom, it's over. Because you realize suffering with God is going to lead you to glorification with God. That's good. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I mean, it's really real happiness, not just fake, lying, you know, deceiving yourself. How many know the world teaches you self-reliance?
Right.
The Bible teaches the opposite. Do not rely on yourself, rely on Jesus. Have your faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Trust his words. They can change you just like that. So the more you read, the more powerful. And it's not, you don't just do it to get rid of your present problem. You do it because it's going to be a lifelong, eternity-long thing forever and ever. So you want it. And nurses, particularly, they know when people are dying, they can see how they react if they have faith or if they don't. Mm-hmm. And so many people don't, and they're just agony. They're just lost, you know, like what? You know, it's like. But people that have peace, they can tell. This person has peace. Because you're noticing that people aren't what they thought they were when they get near death. That's a big test is, you know, what will I be like? They give me a certain drug and it makes me, you know, swear or, you know, whatever, I get mad. I mean, people do it because all they're trying to do is give you as much, you know, whatever the bad stuff is. They give you morphine or whatever. But there are side effects to ibuprofen or ibuprofen, what it's called. There are side effects to all that stuff. Marijuana. I could go on and on and on. So what? Just don't do it. I don't. I never have taken even a pill, even an aspirin, whatever. Why? I don't want it. And so my mind is clear. My emotions are, you know, happy. And so I didn't do that. I just heard God and it happened. I take no credit. I cooperated by reading his word. No, I didn't do a good work by reading his word. I just read the word because he said read it. And then it works. Okay, so this first chapter of John is saying Jesus is the light of the world and his light is the life of men. Or his life is your enlightenment. You can see through his life, wow, he is what I want to be. And you want to have a relationship with him because he's going to marry you. So you want to have that intimate relationship with Jesus. Now, everybody here is going to be a bride, even men. God can mix up metaphors, and he does. But women also are called sons of God. So don't be hung up on metaphors. They're just simply saying, you're a female, you're a male. But we're equal. There's no way that I'm greater than Peggy. There's no way that Peggy is greater than me. We each have our own, you know, egos and whatever. But you want it to die so that you begin to love one another, and that's the greatest. That when you love one another, it's over. As soon as you love one another, it's over. That's the end of the law. The beginning is you worship God, but it's not a work. It's just simply he does. And then one day, you face the end, and poof, it's over. You have nothing to do. So, anyway, I'm going to read this, the first chapter up to verse 14. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. But his life is your light. The way he lived is the way you should live now, because he's in you. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. But that some did. As many as received him, Jewish, to them he gave authority to become children of God. So everyone here is a child of God. To the ones believing into his name. That's how you become a child of God. So simple. When you read it in the Bible, it's ridiculous. If you're a reasonable person, you can't read this thing and be sane. Because it's crazy. Why would God put so much weight on just believing on him? You know, I mean, it's like, you just believe on him? Yeah, that's all you do. Because you're relying on him. You know what that does? It kills your old flesh. Your flesh is not able to stand that light, that life, that person. When he just said, if you believe on me, you'll have eternal life. Like, huh? Well, don't you have to shape up? Don't you have to cooperate? Don't you have to praise? Don't you have to do something? I wouldn't. I wouldn't unless God tells you to do something and you know it's God, then do it. But other than that, I don't do it because it's a good work. Because I know I'm not trying to please a God that's not pleased with me. He's already pleased with me. He did the atonement for me. He did the offering for me. He did everything for me so that I'm able. I go around the world. And the reason I do is because I like to meet people in strange cultures and see whether the harvest is ripe. That's the only reason I go. It says in the Bible, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few, so pray the Lord, send out laborers. So wherever I go, even last night we were at a meeting in Fort Worth, and you know, I'm witnessing to people about Jesus. That's the only thing. I love him. And I don't have any apology for it. I'm happy, totally unhappy, and I don't care whether you believe me or not. I am. So since I am, I like to testify. And Peggy testifies about me, too. She doesn't have her own testimony, but she can testify about, you know, well, my husband. Peg, don't. They want to hear about your testimony. Tell them your own testimony. What has God done for you lately? You know, like, you are special. She's special. Exactly fit for me. So I love her with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. I love her that way. And I tell her that every day. Because it's good. It's good. And I want her to have the same happiness I have. Right? That's the basis of a marriage. The basis of your marriage is that the husband wants to bear the burden so the wife can have the blessing. I'll say that again. The basis is that the man who's the boss is actually the servant. And so he wants to bear the burden. He wants to carry the burden and say, sweetheart, I'll take care of it. I can do that. It's easy for me. It will be hard for you, but it's easy for me. And so she gets all the blessing. I don't know. That's not a bad deal. Do you think that's a bad deal? No. Let him have all the burden. And you can have a great marriage. And people do have it. This is the amazing thing about God. People on earth still believe in Jesus. I mean, anywhere you are in the world. So I go to the rottenest places. I do. I deliberately choose the rottenest places that no one wants to go there. And you have huge success because no one wants to go there. So I've got a bungalow, the Pygmies, and you have a tremendous response. You go with Uganda or wherever the poor country is, Moldova, you know, wherever you go in the world, and no one, they want to go to Hawaii. Everyone says, my mission will be Hawaii, and that's okay. Hawaii is also a place you can witness to. But wherever you go, witness. Wherever you go, witness, right?
Amen.
And so I've taught that to adults, to people that are chairmen or whatever. I can teach it to a street sweeper. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your condition is. So this is good news. So the Word became flesh, and he did that for you. The Word became flesh. In other words, he was Son of God, so why did he sink down so low? It's not low to him. That's what love does. Love forgets the difference and said, because you humble yourself, I'm going to exalt you. Because you exalt yourself, I'll push you down. And so he says, don't think you're God. I'm God. You're not. But because Jesus does that, he does that for you. He speaks your language. He knows all the languages of the world. So he has no problem communicating with anybody in any culture. So I don't believe people that say there are problems in the world. I know it says it. In the world you have trouble. But it also says, be of good cheer.
Amen.
I've overcome the world.
Amen.
So, that's how to overcome the world. I don't have any malice. I'm not angry. I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to do something. I'm just being. And when you're yourself, you're not nervous because you don't have anything to sell or keep or pay for or whatever. And so it doesn't matter whether I succeed or not. I'm happy, like you said, testified. You got that peace. So when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that we had seen his grace and his mercy and his kindness and all of that, that's what you want. It sounds ridiculous, but everyone in the world wants to be happy, but they're not. I'm going to say that again. Everyone in the world, they want to be happy. So they're rich, or they're famous, or they have a good reputation, or, you know, they're a nice Christian or whatever. And God doesn't care about all that. God doesn't care about that. Just be yourself. Don't be smarter than you are. Don't be more spiritual than you are. Just be yourself. Be whatever you want to be. Let God be God. Let God be God. It's so simple. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So he's going to exchange his rest for your labor. Come all to you, labor. Stop laboring. I want you to have rest. So I'm giving you rest. I'll die for you. Don't worry about you. I'll take care of you. It's perfect. So God wants us to tell this good news and then live it. Words don't mean anything unless they have reality behind them. So if I say I love you and I just talking it, it doesn't mean anything. But when it's proven, when you can see it, when you have evidence of it, then you know, wow, there might be a God. So people don't listen to your words. They look at your life. They don't really care about your words because people are hypocrites and liars, right? So people can easily deceive you, trick you. But don't perform. Just be yourself. and as you were. I notice I'm never jealous of somebody else. I wish I had that much money. I wish I was that handsome. I wish I was that smart. I wish I, you know, I don't do anything. I'm glad to be an idiot. I have no problem. I'm really natural at idiocy. But because God says he loves me, that kind of cancels it out. Under the law, I'm here, but under the gospel, I'm here. So this one, you know. So I'm better on his right hand than I am on his left hand.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
So, yes, I'm guilty. But, yes, my sins have been forgiven. I'm pardoned.
Hallelujah.
So when you're pardoned, when the warden says you're pardoned, that means, you know, open the cell, let him get out, get his stuff in the basement, and call his wife and get out of here. So that pardon is something, they have the discretion to do that. I've told you before, I had a guy who was a hitman in Fort Worth, and he had murdered 13 people. He was a hitman. He paid $50,000 to go out to California, wherever, kill somebody, and so on and so forth. And so he had already been up in Texas, three strikes and you're out. Have you ever heard that? So that's the way, if you go to Penn, you know, to Penn, whatever. And then three strikes. But he had already done his three, and then they caught him again. This is number four. And so he had become a Christian. And so I said to him, don't worry about it. You'll be out in a few months. I don't know why I said that. I just said it. You'll be out in a few months. That's ridiculous. I will be there for life. No, you won't. You'll be out in a little while. So then he went in, and the next time I met him, he was behind the glass. You know, not all places have glass, but this one does. You know, you see him. And he's behind the glass, so I'm saying to him, now, here's the secret, because I said you'll be out in a few months. Here's the secret. Don't know anything, don't see anything, don't hear anything. Just be an ordinary person. Well, this guy is used to having a gun, is used to having pills, is used to having, you know, everything. He served a lot of people here in Dallas. He would go and get them booze. He would go and get them girls. He would go and, you know, do a lot of things. And so you work for the mafia, you get paid. And if you don't pay your debt, they give you a little chance, you know, hey, pay it by, you know, Tuesday night or whatever. If you don't do it, this guy goes and shoots you, knifes you, puts poison in you, whatever. This guy had a lot of ways because he told me all his ways. He said, I still get nervous sometimes when I hear a door slam. It was like, you know, I go for my gun, whatever. I said, well, we can take care of that. So we went to the nursery, sat down in little kid chairs, and so now, I want you to tell me the name of the person. We're going to pray for that person. I want you to ask their forgiveness. They're dead. Ask their forgiveness, and then I want you to say, I'm now a Christian, and I'm sorry I did all that, but forgive me. And then I've tell you I'm new now. So he did all that. And then after that, he didn't have any more fear. He didn't care. And when he got out, because he got out, then he was able to say, don't worry, you know, because he was an ordinary person. He didn't have drugs. Because in prison, being a four-timer, you know everything that's going on. Because he had tattoos all over his body. I kill these kind of people, I kill these kind of people. And all those tattoos tell you who he is. And so I said, just read your Bible, have Bible studies with your roommate, get him saved. And he did.
Hallelujah.
He did. And then his roommate was a 350-pound guy called Bubba. That was his name, Bubba. Because everyone knew he's the boss. You do whatever he says. So one night, the Lord said, get up. And so he got up and he said, tell Bubba to get down here. He's ready to receive the Lord. So he got up. Bubba was angry because he's 350 pounds. He says, what? Why'd you wake me? And he said, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, Bubba began, his tears came down his eyes. He dropped to his knees and said, "My grandmother was a Christian. She's always praying for me." And he was broken. From then on, Bubba would go out of his cell and he'd say to everybody on the floor, "Hey, get here. I'm doing Bible." Everybody came. So I don't know if the warden saw that or knew about it. He probably did. But one day the warden called him up and said, "It's over. I've pardoned you. So just get your stuff, go down to the basement, get all your stuff, and call your wife." He never questioned him, why are you letting me off? Because I'm a four-time loser. Why are you letting me off? And he didn't explain it. So he doesn't know it to this day. He doesn't know that. But all he knew is he was free. So he got all his family together, and he now said, "Your dad, I'm not going to tell you the details, but I was bad, very bad. And I don't want any of you to follow my footsteps. So from now on, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and so on and so forth." And he just let them all. And then he said, "So now let's sing." So he was just completely loose. Now, that's a true story. That guy was a bad guy. He's no longer a bad guy. Why? Jesus forgave him. Jesus forgave him. How? I don't know. I don't really know. I wasn't with him all the time. But all I know is God is a forgiving Father. And once you get that, you have to be a sinner to appreciate this. If you haven't sinned, it's hard. But if you've sinned a little bit, just a little bit of pride, a little bit of anger, a little bit of judgment, and so on, that's enough to you to grow in the knowledge of God. So God wants you to be happy all the time, and then as He'll make you blessed, and then He wants you to bless others. What does He do? He doesn't tell you to do it. He just says, "That's what I'm working on." And boom. All of a sudden you went, "Hey, I want to do it. For some reason, I want to do it." And you just find yourself going into the God-awfulest places and witnessing to people. Everyone is interesting. There's not a person, I don't care what their conditions are, that can't understand Jesus Christ. So all over the world. I don't fancy it up. I don't say it anything other than what I read in the Bible. And that's all it takes. You can win people just by saying Jesus on a bus, on an airplane, or, you know, at Walmart. It doesn't matter where you're going. This is good news. And you know what? People are hungry. People are hungry. They just don't know any Christians that are letting God be God. They need to see that. All right. What'd you learn today?
Let God be God.
Let God be God.
Let God be God. Yeah, that's a good title. Let God be God. Who else has a testimony?
Right here.
Yes. Where? Julia. Yep. It's always good news. You can turn anything in the Bible into good news. If it doesn't look like it, just shift it a little bit till it's good news. Why? Because you cannot outdo God. He is good. And if He says He loves you, it's forever and ever. World without end. Okay, so the world became flesh and dwelt among us. That's it. Is He here today or is He up in heaven?
He's here.
He's here.
He's here in your heart. He's here in your heart. Your heart is down here in your gut. Your heart for God is the bowels of mercy. They're down here in this region. They're not up here. But people think this is your heart. This is just a pump. But your bowels of mercy are down here. And this is where God speaks to you from your gut to His gut. And it's powerful. And since He has now decided, and by the way, that's exactly where women have their babies. Did you understand what I just said? The babies are then born in that very area. And then they come out of their love affair that you have. They come out of that. And kids don't know any better. They just think you're God. until you goof up. And then when you goof up, you need to tell them, I'm not God. By the way, I'm not God. And so, you know, and then when they're about, you know, 11 or whatever, 12, you just need to sit down and tell them the whole truth. Because they can handle it. They're 12. And that's the time you teach kids, here's how we raised you, here's how we're going to raise you in the future. We're not perfect, and if I've sinned against you, say it right now, get on my knees, and I'll ask your forgiveness. We're not going to talk about mom, or we're going to talk about you and me. And it works. And all of their kids, we have now 11 grandkids, all of their kids are Christians. They love the Lord. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's easy. You can have heaven on earth. You can actually create heaven on earth. That's what God wants. Love God with all your heart and soul strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Boom, it's over. Now you have peace with God and peace with man. That glorifies God. All right, we're going to keep going in this first chapter. If you get this chapter, you can skip the rest of the Bible. I'm just telling you, because it's the same story. And I could do this with any book in the Bible. This is such of good news. But right here, it's building up. And what is his purpose? I told you his purpose. Do you remember what I said? The purpose of this book. Why did John write this book? Not like Matthew, not like Mark, not like Luke. Their history. This one is reaching the heart. Heart to heart. God's heart to your heart. What does this book want you to do?
Believe.
Right. So faith is all it's after. Hear the truth. The truth will set you free. That's all. You have faith in God, boom, it's over. You're happy. So, who's ready to say I'm happy?
I'm happy.
I'm completely happy. God loves me. I don't have anything to worry about. I can't make him love me, but since he already does, let him do it. Yeah, we're ready for the offering and communion, whatever we have. God is good.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah, amen.